Copyright музыка, интерьер тут не было. Послушай, только минус 40 децибелов. Мы все тут за врочим столом, на врочим столу. О, звучено.
Кай же было вопрошание? Я, не, саправо зачел смо по то дебату, не за вопрошанием, али се лахко radio, ne, na primer s takšnimi intervencijami, kot smo jim zdaj pričali, ne, tukaj v kapelici, ne, s takimi eksperimenti zvočnimi, lahko izogne dominantni ideologiji, ne, pač tej ideologiji, ki vlada v zdajšnji družbi. A lahko radio zaobide, ne, to ideologijo. Ne.
Ja, ta osnovna ideologija ki vlada v družbi je bila že pred časom definirana kot da mediji so ure, ne? Ure, ki tiktakajo in sinhronizirajo ljudi v eno tako družbeno sprejemljivo obnašanje, ne? Tako rekoč, mene to najbolj spominja na format, ne? Radio študent že itak ni čist tak format, ne. Čeprav se spomnim, da so pred časom mu hotel od zunije nekako štimati tudi ta formatiran čas, a veš, vsaka ura je enaka, vedno se na vsake tri minute pove, koliko je ura, ne, identificira se pa tako naprej, ne. Ampak, če tako malo pogledaš, kako te nacionalni mediji delujejo, ne, kot ena taka zelo konvencionalna ura, ne, še vedno ima uno kukavco, veš, špikari še vedno tam z istimi glasovi govorijo, ne, tako rekoč, kada se čas ni spremenil, ne, in mogoče so te nacionalni mediji pač ta znak, kaj to dominantna kultura, ne, način razmišljanja in obnašanja. Ne. Na ta način, z tega stališča se, recimo, take intervencije, ki jih imamo tukaj, intervencije, ja, ki jih imamo tukaj, seveda probajo izogniti tej uri, ne, tudi način, kako se pogovarjamo, ruši te običaje. Ne? Je pa zdaj vprašanje, no, kako ta zadeva ni samo mislim, za kompletnost potem te kulture, ne, so da potrebno tudi neki izvod za lunije, no, ki tacega za radio študentce itak nekako žive dolg časa, da je tako zbirališče, kot en koncentracijski taborišče, mogoče rezervat, ne. Se mi zdi, da niti ne geto, ne, ker niti ni toliko napadan, saj še do zdaj ni bil napadan, da sem tako kot Metelkova, ki je napadana, ne, in je geto, ta prav. Radi študenti na višjem nivoju in se lahko verjetno imenuje rezervat, ne. Meni se zdi, da je en slovenski psiholog, nekaj rekel, da tukaj na radio študent ali pa tam na radio študent, so pa sami sociopati. Ne? In vse je res, ne? Vse je res, seveda. No, ampak to je normalen, tudi del tazga sistema rabi izvode, ne? In to so sistemi, ne vem, avtonomne cone znotri siceršnjega mainstreama, no? Konvencije dogovora, ne, in to je del teh konvencij, čeprav je na vides nekonvencionalen. Lahko pa bi bili brez njega, ne. V tem primeru se jaz ne znam predstavljati, kaj bi bilo s to kulturo tle po Sloveniji, ne, po moje ne bi bila taka, saj ne ta kultura, ki mi tukaj zagovarjamo.
Sej, kako bi pa potem zdaj ob tej 40-letnici potem gledali na to preteklo zgodovino, tudi pravzaprav v tej luči neke ustavljenosti v sistem.
Mi se še radija študenta, kaj? Sigurno, ne, sej tam je zgodbica, ne, kako se radi študent niso spomnili študente, ne, akitacega, ampak da se to spomno stane dolanc, ne. In radi študent je bil prvi od takih študentskih medijev po Jugoslaviji, ne, in se vzpostavil šele, mislim, drugi so se vzpostavili šele, da vem, v 80-ih letih, ne, recimo, v Sarajevu, v Beogradu, v Zagrebu, ne. Edini, ki je preživel, je radio študent, ne. Ta pozitivna inercija, vsi drugi so pa privatizirani, ne. Kao Kuba, ja. Ko nekako je obstala.
Se pravi, pač vedno se pa se govori, ne, da je radio študent je prva študentska radijska postaja, tako v Evropi, ne. Ampak, ja.
Ja, to se govori in to do zdaj, no vem, jaz tudi še nisem slišal, da ne bi bilo, se ne, da bi to kaj veliko pomenil. Imamo občutek, da so pa vsem bleki, kakšne te kampus radi, kaj tacega. Čeprav možno, da so se pa kasneje pojavili, ne. No, da sem pozabil nekaj, ki sem še hotel, ampak
se boš mogoče se še pač potem povrnil, ne, na to miso se bo potem utrnila. Ja, kaj to sem mislil, ne, sem razmišljal, ne, ob tej tezi, ne, recimo danes, ne, oziroma včeraj že, ne, bila izrečena v studiu City, ne, naprimer. Kaj pa recimo gibanja piratskih radijskih postaj po Evropi, ne, v 60-ih letih, ne, kaj ti takrat se je začelo na primer v Franciji, pa tudi v Veliki Britaniji, pojavljati ogromno mehnih radijskih postaj, ljudje so kupovali tranzistorje in so bile to nelegalne radijske postaje, ne. potem kasneje, ne, so se legalizirali, ne, naprimer v Franciji, ne, recimo z Mitterrandovo vlado, ne, v začetku 80-ih let, ne, te nelegalne oziroma piratske radijske postaje, kakor si je bil recimo Radio Libertair, ne, od anarhistov v Franciji, in so potem postali tako imenovani Radio Libre, svobodni radiji, ne. In sem pač v tem kontekstu, ne, pač potem gledal, ne, da so obstajale, ne, neki taki radiji, ne, tudi že plejno.
And an individual sensibility. Ja, iz šestih let se jaz v glavnem spomnim, tiste zadeve, ki je bila na ladji, ne. No, tista zadeva ni bila mišljena, mislim, tiste bil nekako upor zoper monopol BBC-ja, ne, se pravi nacionalnega medija. Ni se verificiral, mislim, ni se izkazval na kakšni politični drži, se mi zdi, ampak tle ne vem čisto očno, ne, to ne moram čisto. Ampak vem pa sigurno, da je bistvena teža bila v rolanju muske, ne, se pravi, glasba 60-ih let, ne vem, bitla, karkoli že bilo, ne, se je vrtela tam, zato ker je nacionalni mediji niso sprejel kot relevantno za nacionalno predvajanje, ne. Ampak pri BBC-ju so se dosti hitro temu prilagodili, ne, in se pravi, te, ki so bili na tej ladji, ki so se naspankoji meblo, ne, so bili predhodniki te privatne iniciative, ne, privatnih medijev, mrdokov in takih, ne. Te anarhisti, ki pa ne vem, če je to bilo v 70-ih, mislim v 60-ih, ne, ampak se mi zdi, da so se te zadeve bolj začeli pol pojavljati v 70-ih pa v 80-ih. Se mi zdi, da sta bila ena, dva vala taka piratskih, radijskih postaj, od katerih prav gotov ljudje izhajajo z tega ultralevičarskega gibanja oziroma post 68-ga, ne, in te so naredili to linijo francosko, švicarsko, avstrijsko, nemško, teh svobodnih Freies Radio, ne, Radio Libre, pa tudi v Španijo iz vsega, ne. To so bili potomci, ja, teh ultralevičarskih, pa se mi zdi, da boji tam 70-ih in pa v 80-ih, 80-ih so bili pa bolj uspešni, ne.
Zdaj, kakor sem rekel, ne, prej pač so jih legalizirali, ne, zdaj te te radije, ne, imajo vsi nek status, podoben status kot radio študent, naprimer pri nas, status ustanove nacionalnega pomena, medijske ustanove nacionalnega pomena, ne, kot mislim, da ne, a ja, ne, aha, ne. On and on and on. Zanjo se veliko tako govoril, da je stvarih, ne.
Ne vem, zanjo se mi zdi, da je govoril, da se zdaj borijo za status nekomercialnega radija. Da niti tega še ni, ne. A ja, nekje v bližnji prihodnosti, tajni. Ja. Reaching up through the waves, dropping down out of sight, reaching for others, but finding nobody there. No, tle bom malo preskočil to, kar si zdaj sprašal. Drugačno, še ena ideja mi je prišla na misel, ne, da recimo v Avstriji so to zanimivo zastavili te svobodni radio, ne, niso ga zastavili kot taka javna inštitucija, ampak kot privatni zavod. Oziroma, vse to tudi deluje v javnem interesu, ne. Political language, a ja, as used by politicians,
does not venture into any of this. To pač prej, ko sem še govoril, ne, o teh svobodnih radijih v Franciji, ne, Radio Libre, niso bili recimo samo to radije, ne nekih recimo levičarskih gibanj, ampak so bili tudi radije, neki so pač skušali združevali ljudi, ki so se hoteli ukvarjati z radijem, ki so hoteli posredovati neke vsebine, ki so se jim zdele pomembne, zlasti ja, kulturne, naprimer glede muske, naprimer, kakor je radio Aligre, ne, tudi iz Pariza, pa imamo pa še radio Frequence Pluriel, pa še ogromno, ogromno radijskih postaj, ampak te so čist, če bi lahko temu rekel, civilne, ne, v primerjavi ne, s temi pač političnimi, recimo, temi, recimo levičarskimi, no, kakor je radio Libertar. Ne.
Kaj sem že prej pozabil?
We were told that Iraq had a relationship with Al-Qaeda and shared responsibility.
Ne, v Avstriji ti sem končal. Ja, očitno samo takrat, ko so oni to delali in sem bil jaz tako fasciniral. No, oni so pa privatni zavod ustanovili. Jaz še nisem dost dobro razumel, ali pa mogoče tle v Sloveniji je bila še prevelika tranzicija ne, iz unga, ko smo bili družbeni ali kaj tako. Kaj smo pa zdaj sploh? Tudi nismo privatni zavod, ali smo? Ali šel je ustanovitelj privatnega, ali to definiran kot...
Ja,
vse, evo, to je drugo. Aha, to je državna inštitucija pa.
But before I come back, kot državna inštitucija, ja. I would like to look at the recent past.
By which I mean, United no, States foreign policy sem spomen, since tiza, the end of the Second World War.
I believe it is obligatory upon us to
subject this period
to at least some kind of even limited pojavila, ne.
Which is all the time will allow here.
Zdaj, če smo rekli, da bomo še 15 minut tle, ali kaj? Potem bi mogoče se dotakli, a ne, smo rekli, da smo jutri dotakli pereče teme. Bomo pustiti za jutri, ne, pa da ne bomo nič napovedovali. Je pa res pereča. Ob enih, kdo ima to? Retrofuturisti se pojavijo. Ha, becoming animal, becoming machine, becoming intense. To je neki rave, ne?
And that the truth has considerable bearing on where the world stands now.
Se poslovijo počasa, ne? Okay.
Although constrained to a certain extent by the existence of the Soviet Union, the United States actions throughout the world made it clear that it had concluded it had carte blanche to do what it liked. Direct invasion of a sovereign state has never, in fact, been America's. There are no hard distinctions between... I'm very sorry that I can't be in Stockholm. In 1958, I wrote the following. There are no hard distinctions between... I'm very...
Noč, to bi bilo to za danes. Gremo spati. Zdaj bomo za začetek poslušali govor Harolda Pintera za Nobelovo nagrado. Traja 45 minut, pol pa prigodna glasba do jutrnjega programa. Hvala, da ste nas poslušali. Lako noč.
Sorry that I can't be in Stockholm. In 1958, I wrote the following. There are no hard distinctions between what is real and what is unreal, nor between what is true and what is false. A thing is not necessarily either true or false. It can be both true and false. I believe that these assertions still make sense and do still apply to the exploration of reality through art. So, as a writer, I stand by them, but as a citizen, I cannot. As a citizen, I must ask, what is true? What is false? Truth in drama is forever elusive. You never quite find it, but the search for it is compulsive. The search is clearly what drives the endeavor. The search is your task. More often than not, you stumble upon the truth in the dark, colliding with it, or just glimpsing an image or a shape which seems to correspond to the truth, often without realizing that you have done so. But the real truth is that there never is any such thing as one truth to be found in dramatic art. There are many. These truths challenge each other, recoil from each other, reflect each other, ignore each other, tease each other, are blind to each other. Sometimes you feel you have the truth of a moment in your hand, then it slips through your fingers and is lost. I've often been asked how my plays come about. I cannot say. Nor can I ever sum up my plays, except to say that this is what happened. That is what they said. That is what they did. Most of the plays are engendered by a line, a word, or an image. The given word is often shortly followed by the image. I shall give two examples of two lines which came right out of the blue into my head, followed by an image, followed by me. The plays are The Homecoming and Old Times. The first line of The Homecoming is, "What have you done with the scissors?" The first line of Old Times is, "Dark." In each case, I had no further information. In the first case, someone was obviously looking for a pair of scissors and was demanding their whereabouts of someone else he suspected had probably stolen them. But I somehow knew that the person addressed didn't give a damn about the scissors, or about the question either, for that matter. Dark, I took to be a description of someone's hair, the hair of a woman, and was the answer to a question. In each case, I found myself compelled to pursue the matter. This happened visually, a very slow fade through shadow into light. I always start a play by calling the characters A, B, and C. In the play that became The Homecoming, I saw a man enter a stark room and ask his question of a younger man sitting on an ugly sofa reading a racing paper. I somehow suspected that A was a father and that B was his son, but I had no proof. This was, however, confirmed a short time later when B, later to become Lenny, says to A, later to become Max, "Dad, do you mind if I change the subject? I want to ask you something. The dinner we had before, what was the name of it? What do you call it? Why don't you buy a dog? You're a dog cook, honest. You think you're cooking for a lot of dogs." So, since B calls A dad, it seemed to be reasonable to assume that they were father and son. A was also clearly the cook, and his cooking did not seem to be held in high regard. Did this mean that there was no mother? I didn't know. But, as I told myself at the time, our beginnings never know our ends. Dark. A large window. Evening sky. A man, A, later to become Dealey, and a woman, B, later to become Kate, sitting with drinks. "Fat or thin?" the man asks. "Who are they talking about?" But I then see, standing at the window, a woman, C, later to become Anna, in another condition of light, her back to them, her hair dark. It's a strange moment, the moment of creating characters who up to that moment have had no existence. What follows is fitful, uncertain, even hallucinatory, although sometimes it can be an unstoppable avalanche. the author's position is an odd one. In a sense, he is not welcomed by the characters. The characters resist him. They are not easy to live with. They are impossible to define. You certainly can't dictate to them. To a certain extent, you play a never-ending game with them. Cat and mouse, blind man's buff, hide and seek. But finally, you find that you have people of flesh and blood on your hands. People with will and an individual sensibility of their own, made out of component parts you are unable to change, manipulate, or distort. So language in art remains a highly ambiguous transaction, a quicksand, a trampoline, a frozen pool, which might give way under you, the author, at any time. But as I have said, the search for the truth can never stop. It cannot be adjourned, it cannot be postponed. It has to be faced right there, on the spot. Political theatre presents an entirely different set of problems. Sermonizing has to be avoided at all cost. Objectivity is essential. The characters must be allowed to breathe their own air. The author cannot confine or constrict them to satisfy his own taste or disposition or prejudice. He must be prepared to approach them from a variety of angles, from a full and uninhibited range of perspectives. Take them by surprise, perhaps, occasionally, but nevertheless, give them the freedom to go which way they will. This does not always work. And political satire, of course, adheres to none of these precepts. In fact, does precisely the opposite, which is its proper function. In my play, The Birthday Party, I think I allow a whole range of options to operate in a dense forest of possibility before finally focusing on an act of subjugation. Mountain language pretends to no such range of operation. It remains brutal, short, and ugly. But the soldiers in the play do get some fun out of it. One sometimes forgets that torturers become easily bored. They need a bit of a laugh to keep their spirits up. This has been confirmed, of course, by the events at Abu Ghraib in Baghdad. Mountain language lasts only 20 minutes, but it could go on for hour after hour, on and on and on. The same pattern repeated over and over again, on and on, hour after hour. Ashes to Ashes, on the other hand, seems to me to be taking place underwater. A drowning woman, her hand reaching up through the waves, dropping down out of sight, reaching for others, but finding nobody there, either above or under the water, finding only shadows, reflections, floating. The woman, a lost figure in a drowning landscape, a woman unable to escape the doom that seemed to belong only to others. But as they died, she must die too. Political language, as used by politicians, does not venture into any of this territory, since the majority of politicians, on the evidence available to us, are interested not in truth, but in power, and in the maintenance of that power. To maintain that power, it is essential that people remain in ignorance, that they live in ignorance of the truth, even the truth of their own lives. What surrounds us, therefore, is a vast tapestry of lies upon which we feed. The justification for the invasion of Iraq was that Saddam Hussein possessed a highly dangerous body of weapons of mass destruction, some of which could be fired in 45 minutes, bringing about appalling devastation. We were assured that was true. It was not true. We were told that Iraq had a relationship with Al-Qaeda and shared responsibility for the atrocity in New York of September 11th, 2001. We were assured that this was true. It was not true. We were told that Iraq threatened the security of the world. We were assured it was true.